Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Let's ask the Lord to speak to us today. Heavenly Father, we are here in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that your presence goes with us wherever we are. But Lord, we thank you that when we gather together, you promise to be in the midst of your people in a special way. And Father, as we have honored you this morning through worship, and we've rejoiced in what Jesus did through communion, and now, Lord God, we sit here ready to hear from you, we pray that you would help us to hear what you want us to hear. Help our ears to be open and our hearts to be open, our minds to be open to your truth. And Father, I pray that it would change us. I pray that we would leave here different and that we would leave here living life different in a way that is even more pleasing to you than we've lived up to this point. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today, I'm going to begin a brand new sermon series. It'll last through the next couple of months. That's the anticipated plan anyway. And the sermon series is, I've just entitled, The Basics. The Basics. Now, without even digging into what I mean by that, just that idea of the basics, you know, it's important that we know the basics about any subject, any activity, anything that we want to go forward in understanding or in knowledge or in doing, it's important that we understand the basics. I mean, we see it very simply in the fact that you need to know how to do addition and subtraction before you start doing calculus. You know? You need to understand basic biology before you start operating on people. I mean, it applies to just about any aspect of life, of knowledge or of action. If you want to play any type of sports, if you want to be really good at those sports, you need to not only learn how to do the complicated, fancy stuff, but you got to learn the basics. If you're going to play basketball, you got to learn how to dribble. Okay? Which is not the same thing as drooling, in case you don't know. You know? You know, whatever it is that you want to learn and be proficient at or whatever, you've got to learn the basics. And sometimes, even if you've been involved in something or you know something or whatever, it's good to go back and review the basics. And so that's kind of the idea behind what I want to cover over the next couple of months. And there's going to be two different aspects of it. First, we're going to talk about things that we would categorize. I don't think that God would, but we would categorize as spiritual things. Okay? We're going to be talking, I'll just tell you right now, today we're going to be talking about the basics of prayer. Next week, we'll look at the basics of God's Word. And along the way, we'll talk about God's Word, spiritual growth, church, ministry, worship, giving, evangelism. Just the actually, we're going to be talking about the basics of the basics. And once we cover those, I want to get into some things that we would say are more everyday, practical things. Now, I say we would say because in God's viewpoint, we don't separate everyday life from spiritual things. Our spiritual being, our spiritual relationship with God, it permeates or should permeate every area of life. And there aren't certain things that are more spiritual than others, but we have a tendency to categorize. So as we get into that second part of it, I want to talk about the basics of what the Bible has to say about relationships. Very important. You know, about marriage, about financial freedom, about what God thinks about our work or our school, our influence. I was going to do a thing on parenting, and I thought, well, that would only apply to a small group. So let's just talk about our influence on others, and then we can apply that to parenting or to mentoring or whatever. So those are some of the topics I plan to talk about over the next couple of months, just dealing with the basics. And my intent, because each of these topics could be a whole series, so I can't cover everything. So in each message, my intent is just to give you what I perceive anyway to be the basics. And in the process of giving you the basics, I'm also going to be giving you some other information, encourage you to do some more studying throughout the week. Now, it's up to you as to whether you do that or not. So I encourage you to take notes if you can, if you will. And you can always go back and re-listen to it or re-watch the message on our website. But when I get to a certain portion of the message and I say, oh, and by the way, here's something you can check out this next week or you can meditate on or study more deeply. If you really want to get the most you can out of this series, I encourage you to take note of that and to try to do that the following weeks. That's just a little bit of background on where we're headed and how we're going to go about it. And I hope that this series will really help us all just grow closer to the Lord, closer to each other, closer or more proficient at living the life that God has for us. Because I've told you many times, God has a much better life plan for you than you can plan for yourself. And so we want to talk about the basics of the basics, your spiritual life and everyday things, and what does God's Word have to say about that. So as I mentioned, today we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about prayer. Now, we wrestle with prayer. There's a lot of inaccurate ideas and a lot of inaccurate attitudes out there about prayer. And even those of us that have a relationship with God, we struggle with these wrong ideas. And let me give you a couple of examples, okay? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever felt this way about prayer? Some people look at prayer as a chore. They may not have called it that, but the idea is, okay, no, it's something I'm supposed to do, so let me just do it and get it over with. I guarantee you probably every single one of us have even though we don't want to feel that way, we probably thought about it or felt that way about prayer. Sometimes people look at prayer as like the lottery. If you keep trying, maybe you'll get lucky. You know, keep praying, and God's got to answer something. You know, if you pray long enough, hard enough, maybe like the lottery, you'll get lucky, and maybe God will do what you ask Him to do. Some people look at prayer as a magic formula. You got to get it just right, say the right words in the right way, and hold your head. No, not really hold your head right. But, you know, just do it just right, and then God will answer. Some people look at prayer like a phone call. You call God up, and sometimes God's at home, and sometimes He's not. I mean, some of these excuses, some of these ideas are ways to try to explain what we call unanswered prayer. By the way, I'm going to give you the solution to unanswered prayer today at some point, so be paying attention for that. Some people look at prayer as a useless formality. In other words, we're supposed to ask, but God's going to do whatever He wants to do anyway, so why bother? Some people look at prayer as a sales pitch. If you can make a good enough presentation to God, then God's going to answer. Some people look at prayer as negotiation. I've got to make a deal with God. Okay, what do I got to give in to? What do I got to agree to? Whatever, to get God to do it. You know, just back and forth negotiation. Somehow we'll come to some kind of agreement. The last one, some people look at God, at prayer as a nagging session. If you ask hard enough and long enough, and especially if you can get other people to ask with you, then God will give in. Now, I think most of us would say that's not what prayer is. But I guarantee you, most of us, if not all of us, have had those thoughts, those attitudes, or felt that way from time to time about prayer. But yet prayer is so important. The Bible makes it very clear that it's one of the key things if we want to have a relationship with God, and that to be a good relationship, a healthy relationship, then prayer is so key, so foundational to that. So it's important that we understand prayer. And as I said, we could do a whole series on prayer, but today we're going to do one message. And we're going to deal just with the basics. So what is the truth about prayer according to God's Word? What are the basics of prayer? Can I tell you that if you have a problem or you need an answer, it's always good to ask an expert, right? If you got problems with your car, you go to a mechanic. If you got problems with an electrical system, you go to an electrician. If you got problems with your plumbing, you go to, I almost said a urologist, but I mean a plumber. I probably should not have said that, but anyway, I did. If you need an answer, you got a problem, you want to go to an expert, but I want to tell you, we are going to go to an expert about this idea of prayer. Probably the best expert out there, and that would be Jesus. We're going to look at some of the things that Jesus said about prayer. Jesus was an expert. He understood prayer. He practiced prayer. He taught about prayer. In fact, the passage we're going to look at in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13, is some of His best teaching on prayer. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read the whole passage and then we're going to jump into it here. But Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5, Jesus is in the middle of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Three whole chapters of Jesus' condensed teachings about a number of things. And Jesus says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're going to stop right there. And I want to give you five practical pieces of advice from this teaching of Jesus about prayer. The basics about prayer coming from the teaching of Jesus. And the first one is this: we need to pray relationally. We need to pray relationally. I've associated verses 6, 8, and 9 with this. I'm not going to reread them, but those are the verses where Jesus says that when you're praying, you are talking to whom? Your Father. In those verses, three times, he talks about talking to your Father, and then when he gives the sample prayer, or the pattern for prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, he says, Our Father. So within that short passage, four times, he refers to the idea of prayer as being communication with our Father. And that has certain implications for what prayer is and how we should go about it. We need to pray relationally. I'll be honest with you, we try to make prayer so many different things. We got all these different ideas, but at its most basic level, prayer is talking with God. That's it. And I guarantee every single one of you are an expert at talking. Now, some are more prolific than others. Some may do it better than others. Some may be better at communicating, but we all know how to talk. And so prayer doesn't need to be near as complicated as we often make it. Prayer is talking with God. Now notice I said talking with God, not talking to God. Okay? God wants there to be a communication back and forth. Prayer is our part talking to Him. God speaks back to us in a number of ways. He'll speak to us through our conscience, by the Holy Spirit. The primary way God speaks to us is through His Word. We'll talk about that next week. But prayer is part of the process of talking with God. Now, let me give you a basic thought here that's so very, very important. To be effective in prayer, you need to develop a good relationship with God. I mean, just think about this rationally, logically. It makes sense, doesn't it? If you want to have good communication with God, if you want to be able to pray and it be effective, you need to have a good relationship with God. First of all, you need to have a relationship with God to begin with. You know, Jesus said we pray to our Father. He's talking to His disciples, His followers. These are people that have a relationship with God. You know, there's this mistaken idea that God is the Father of us all. The Bible never says God is the Father of us all. He is the Creator of us all. He wants to be the Father of us all. But we can only become His children when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I don't have time to dig deeply into that because that's not the purpose today. But the point is, we need to have that relationship with Him. Let me ask you this. If I were after church today to call the President of the United States, do you think he'd take my call? Nope. If his wife calls him or his child calls him, you think he'll take the call? He will if he can. Why? They have a relationship. Our relationship with our Heavenly Father is so important. And not only do we need to have that relationship, but the better our relationship is with our Father, the better our communication. And we know that from our own relationships and our communication with one another. You know, if I'm trying to communicate with my wife, Pastor Jan, by the way, she doesn't make me call her Pastor Jan. But if I'm having a communication with her, the level of communication, how well that goes, you know, all that kind of stuff, a lot of it has to do with where we are in our relationship right then. If we're having a good day, there's not been any problems, whatever, communication is a whole lot better than if I've said or done something stupid that's got her frustrated with me. Of course, she never does that. to where I get frustrated at her. But I'm just saying, you know, whatever's going on in our relationship, and so if something's not right, we need to get it right. And we see that's true in our relationship with God and trying to communicate with Him. If we want to be effective in prayer, we need to make sure our relationship with God is clear and right. And, you know, we just celebrated communion. And we're so thankful that God offers to forgive us of our sins if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we've got sin in our life, it provides a barrier between us and God. Now, I'm not saying God says, I won't listen to you, but I'm saying it provides a barrier. We got to get that right. And God is more concerned about us getting that right than whatever it is we want to talk to Him about. And there's a whole list of things we won't get into that can cause barriers. If we're all right with God, but we're having trouble with one of our brothers and sisters in Christ, God says, listen, you want to come talk to me? Get it worked out with your brother and sister first. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, those of you that have been parents or our parents, you might think of this. You're driving down the road, your kids are in the back seat. And, you know, one of the kids in the back seat want to ask you for ice cream, and they punch their brother or sister in the eye. And they're squalling. They turn and say, hey, can we stop for ice cream? What are you going to say? I think you need to get some things worked out with your brother or sister. That's what I'm more concerned about right now. That's just a little illustration. But the point is, the better our relationship is with our Father, the better our communication will be. To make sure that there's no issues, everything's settled between us. And can I also tell you, if you're concerned about how can I have a better relationship with my Father, prayer is the best way to improve our relationship with our Father. Now, another mistaken idea that we need to get rid of right away when we're talking about praying relationally, keep in mind that prayer is more than just asking God for something. Most of the time when we think of prayer, we think of, I'm going to come to God so I can ask Him for this. Because we've got a lot of things that we need God to get involved in our lives. And I'm so thankful that God wants to be involved in our lives. He cares about every need we have. He wants to touch our bodies. He wants to touch our minds. He wants to work in our relationships. He wants to help us with our finances. He wants us to help us with every area of life. But prayer is or should be so much more than just asking God for stuff. I mean, how would you feel about a relationship you have with your spouse, with a child, with a friend, if the only time they wanted to talk to you was to ask you for something? To ask you to give them something or to do something for you or whatever, you'd say, there's a problem in this relationship. So keep that in mind. I like Psalm 62, verse 8. It says, trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Trust in God. You can pour out your heart. God is wanting to be there to be your refuge. Now, I don't know what kind of thoughts or connotations that word brings up to you, but He's that one that is there to protect you and to strengthen you and to help you and to just be there for you. So pour your heart out to Him. You can come to God and say, God, this is how I feel about this. I don't like the way I feel, but this is the way I feel. God, I've been thinking about this. You know, just talk with Him like you would talk to anybody else. I'm worried about this. I'm depressed about this. I'm happy about this. I'm thankful for this. Lord, what do you think about? And just fill in the blank. Just talk to God like you would talk to anybody else. We need to pray relationally. Can I tell you that if we do have a relationship with God, as our loving Father, God answers every prayer with our best interests in mind? Now, we may not always see that. We may not always understand that. We think, well, I think if God answered it differently, it would have been better for me. But God knows a whole lot more than I do. And I've been through enough in life to know that I can look back and say, there are certain prayers I prayed, and I'm glad that God did not answer it the way I wanted Him to, because now I see that would not have been good. And there's some things that I learned along the way that were good for me and all that kind of stuff. God is a loving parent. And this is where I'm going to give you something you can do later on this week. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. I'm not going to read that to you, but I encourage you to read that and meditate on that this next week. Because that passage tells us that when we ask, God wants to give. You know, God wants to respond, but He's going to do it as a loving Father. And can I tell you that this is the secret or the answer to what we call unanswered prayer? Because I want to tell you something, there is no unanswered prayer. We call it unanswered prayer because God didn't say yes. As a loving Father, sometimes God will say yes to what we ask, and that's what we really like. But sometimes He's going to say no. And when He does, He's got a good reason. Sometimes He'll say, not yet. Later on, I'll do that. Sometimes he'll say, I will answer the prayer you want me to, but first you've got to, and then there may be something that we need to do about it. I mean, those are all the type answers that we use with our children, with our grandchildren, right? They ask us for something, we make a decision. Is this something that I should say yes to, no to, or later? You know, at 5 years old, you're not old enough to drive the car. Or is it something I'm going to say, well, I'll be glad to do that for you if you first do this. God's the exact same way. So we need to pray relationally. The second thing is we need to pray regularly. We need to pray regularly. You know, in verse 5, Jesus said, and when you pray. Sometimes we read something like that and we just kind of zip right by it and not pay attention to the individual words. He says, when. He doesn't say, if you pray. He says, when you pray. And when you read the whole passage, the context indicates that this is going to be something you're going to be involved in on a regular basis. Okay? When you pray, we need to pray regularly. Jesus assumed that his followers would pray. And following from the previous point, that makes sense. If this is one of the primary factors in our relationship with God, if we want to have a good relationship with God and grow in that relationship and it get better and better, and we want him involved in our lives, it only makes sense that we're going to communicate with him on a regular basis. So we need to pray regularly. Now, a lot of times, you know, we say, well, I just don't have the time. Can I tell you a basic fact of life? We have time for what's important to us. We have time for what's important to us. If watching TV is important, we make time for it. Playing video games is important, we make time for it. If playing golf or going fishing, I mean, you can feel, and I'm not even saying those are bad things. I'm just saying whatever is important to us, we have time for. And I don't want to be cruel. I will be a little blunt, but it's truthful. If we don't have time to pray, then prayer is not important to us. That communication with God is not important to us. But I think one of the reasons that that comes up is we've got this misconception that if I'm going to pray, then I better really pray. And I better block off an hour or two every day. And for most people, that just seems overwhelming. And can I tell you, rightfully so? Did you know that the Bible doesn't give us any instructions specifically about how long we should pray? Now, it's got examples. It talks about times that Jesus went out and prayed all night long. But it doesn't seem to indicate he did that every night. He did that when he was facing major decisions or major situations. We don't even know how often or how many times he did that. We just know he did at times prayed all night long. We know that it says that he got up early in the morning to pray. And from that, another scripture, sometimes people think, well, you have to pray early in the morning. Scripture nowhere tells you you have to pray early in the morning. The reason people did it early in the morning is that was the best time for them to do so when they wouldn't be distracted. Can I tell you the best time for you to pray is when you're going to be most focused and least distracted? For some people, that's the morning. For some people, it may be late at night. For some people, it might be in the middle of the day if you can notch out that time and be alone. But we get this idea that we got to pray for hours. And can I tell you, there are people that pray for hours. There are people I believe God has given a calling and a gift to be an intercessor, to be a prayer warrior. And they pray for hours, maybe even several times a week. There have been people throughout history, there may be people in this room, I don't know, who pray for several hours every day. But can I tell you that I think that's the exception rather than the rule? Now, I'm not saying we can just get up and say, hey, God, good to see you. I hope you'll be with me today. And that's it. But I'm just saying we need to take that burden off that if I'm going to pray and do it right, I've got to block out an hour or two. And if I can't do that, I might as well forget it. You see, that's why a lot of times we don't pray as we should, because we put this big burden on ourselves. We need to pray regularly. Again, going back to that relationship, I think of myself and my wife, Jan. You know, we talk to each other regularly. And there are times that we will sit down and have a deep discussion or an important discussion that may last for half an hour, for an hour, whatever. But then there's other times we'll have a 5-minute discussion. And there's other times that we may just kind of make a statement and go on. You see, there's all different levels of communication as far as depth and length of time. And can I tell you that I think the exact same thing can apply to our relationship and our communication with God. There are times that we probably need to get away and just say, I just got to meet with God. I've got to hear from Him. I've got to spend some definite time with Him and block off an hour or two because you just got to spend that time with Him. But then there's other times it may just be a few minutes. It may be some passing things. We need to pray regularly. Let me just give you a couple practical applications real quick. The first one is plan a daily focused time with God. Now again, don't get focused so much on how much time. Don't rush through it. And in fact, can I tell you that what I have found to be true and I've heard many people say is true for them is they started out saying, I'm just going to block off 5 minutes because they struggled to know how to fill 5 minutes. And I'm going to read a chapter in my Bible. I'm going to pray about it and pray to the Lord in 5 minutes. And as they continued to do that and began to grow in their relationship with God, before they knew it, 5 minutes became 10, and then 10 became 15. And for some people, it became longer and longer and longer. The important thing is that you do it and you don't rush it. A rushed conversation is not a good thing. Sometimes you got to have one, you know. I think of that in terms of prayer. When Peter's walking on the water, he gets his eyes off Jesus, begins to sink. He says, Lord, save me. That's about all I could get out. Sometimes we have situations, that's the kind of prayers we got to pray. But plan a daily, focused time with God. We can all figure out some time to spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes with God. I'm not saying you should stay there. But even if that's where you stay, if you do that every day, that's better than not doing it at all. And can I tell you, 5 or 10 minutes with God every day is better than 1 hour a week. Because the daily thing is what makes it more significant than just at the end of the week, I'm going to squeeze in an hour. But be open to letting it grow, because it will. And you'll be glad it does. Plan a daily focused time with God, and then pray frequently throughout the day. And that may just be little whispered words, a sentence, a phrase. That's what's behind the idea that Paul expressed in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 when he said, pray without ceasing. He didn't mean that as believers or someone who has a relationship with God, we go around all day long muttering under our breath, praying about things. It just meant that we have a constant awareness that God is with us and we communicate with Him. There was a British evangelist, he lived a long time ago, his name was Smith Wigglesworth. Interesting name. But he said this, he said he never prayed for more than 20 minutes at a time, but he never went for more than 20 minutes straight without praying. Now, he wasn't putting that forward as a plan or a pattern for anybody else, and I'm not doing that today. What I'm trying to say is that there's that continuous contact, that continuous awareness of God's presence and communicating with Him. And so I would encourage you to discover what would work for you, some good prayer habits. And like any other habit, you're going to have to do it over and over and over again and make it happen until it becomes second nature. But let me give you a couple of them. And you could even do all these. These are some that I try to do all these. Now, I'm not putting myself up there as some great prayer warrior. I'm just saying these are things I found to be helpful. If someone asked you, would you pray with me, would you pray for something for me? And you say yes. And inside you're thinking, oh, I hope I remember. Pray with him right then. Say, you know what? I would love to pray with you. Let's pray right now. And you pray for them right then. And as part of your prayer, say, Lord, would you please remind me later to pray for them again? And then it's God's, you know, responsibility to remind you. Now, if it's something significant, someone really important to you, you might want to write it down, do something else to remind yourself. But when someone asks you if you would pray for them about something, do it right then. Great prayer habit. If you become aware of a need, you know, in other words, somebody's not asking you, but you hear about something, so, oh, I've got to pray about that. Don't put it off. Just stop right then and pray. If you're driving, keep your eyes open. Speaking of driving, you drive down the road and there's somebody broke down on the side of the road. Pray for them. Car accident. Pray for them. Something we've mentioned before, not often, but you hear a siren. Pray for the situation. I don't know what the situation is. You don't need to. Pray for the situation. Look for things to be thankful for. Again, it's a habit. You got to get your mind used to it. But when something neat happens, make it a thing. Thank you, Jesus. You know? When you wake up in the morning, instead of saying, good Lord, it's morning, say, good morning, Lord. I've tried to make that happen. When I wake up in the morning, before I even get out of bed, it's like, Lord, thank you for a new day. I look at the clock and say, Lord, thank you. I've got another half an hour, if I do. You know, and I just, if I'm laying there, I actually can go back to sleep because I've woken up extra early. I'll just start praying about the day. Lord, thank you for the day. I pray that you'd help me today. You know, I've got this going on, blah, 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 blah. And Lord, I just want to be aware of your presence and I want to please you today and blah, blah, blah. You know, all these things. Pray the last thing before you fall asleep at night when you lay down. Say, Lord, thank you for this day. It was a great day. Or, Lord, this was a lousy day. I'm so glad it's over. Thank you that not every day is the same and that you were with me anyway and you helped me. You know, make it the last thing you do. Of course, we're used to the one of praying over meals. That's great. If you find it helpful, you can pray before every phone call. If you, again, to remember, you got to get in the habit. You're getting ready to make a phone call. You say, Lord, you know, I'm getting ready to call such and such. May the conversation go the way you want it to, whatever. Before every conversation, before meetings. You know, pray while you're shaving or pray while you put your makeup on. Maybe that's why women are more spiritual than men. It takes longer to put makeup on than it does to shave. Only a couple of you laughing at that one. That's okay. But seriously, you know, just, you know, pray while you're driving with your eyes open. You know, just think of times when it would be good for you to pray and try to make it a habit. To develop that sense that you're always with God and God is always with you. And you're in communication with him. So pray regularly. The third one is pray privately. Pray privately. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, Jesus said, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received your reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Now, by that is Jesus saying that praying in public is wrong. If he is, then I've messed it all up already because I've prayed several times this morning in front of all of you. Jesus is not saying there's anything wrong with public prayer. What he's saying is the motivation. He was talking about the religious leaders who wanted to be seen as being very spiritual and holy and close to God. And one of the ways that they did that was that they would pray these stupendous prayers in public. There's this story that's gone around, and I've tried to research to find out whether it's really true or not, whether it's something they really did. I can't find a definitive answer, but there's this story that, you know, the religious leaders in Jesus' day would be walking through the street, and they would try to be sure that they were on their way to the temple just slightly late, so that when the time of prayer came, which was 3 o'clock, they had set times for prayer, and the call was sent out for prayer, that they had to stop right where they were to pray. And they were conveniently late to the temple so that people would see them on the streets praying. Whether that's true or not, that's the attitude that Jesus is talking about here. But can I tell you that there is another aspect that makes praying privately important? It's okay to pray publicly, but make sure you take some time to pray privately so that you can be focused. Okay? And when you're praying to God, make sure you're not trying to impress Him. You can't impress God anyway. That you're not praying in such a way that you're trying to impress others. That's what Jesus is saying there. So the application of this is as you're praying, make sure you're doing it with the right motivation. With the right motivation. You're coming to God because you want to communicate with Him. Not because you're trying to impress Him or impress somebody else. And then also to minimize distractions so you can focus. So when you're talking about that time of prayer, not the time that just all day long as you're doing stuff, you're developing habits, but that time that you're going to spend specifically with God, plan it for a time and in a place when you can be focused and you know you're not trying to impress somebody else because there's nobody else around, or at least they're not paying attention to you. Okay, it's just you and your Father. So pray privately. And the fourth one is pray sincerely. Pray sincerely. Verses 7 and 8, Jesus goes on and he says, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." There was a pagan custom, and the Jews could be drawn into it too, that when you were to pray to God or a God, if you're talking about the pagans, you would use the biggest and fanciest words and all this kind of stuff. God is not impressed. We don't need to use special words. Perhaps you've known someone when they prayed, and I'm not making fun, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but when they prayed, they basically prayed King James English. It's not the way they talk every day. I'm not saying that's wrong. If you do it out of awe and respect for God or try to communicate that, it's probably a good thing. But if you do it because you feel like you have to, you don't have to. Or if you're doing it because you're trying to impress God or somebody else, according to the previous, forget it. You're not impressing God. And if you're trying to impress somebody else, that's all the reward you're going to get anyway. We can talk to God the way we talk to anybody else, with respect. You know, we don't go to God and say, "Hey, dude, how's my homeboy today?" That'd be disrespectful. Okay. I'm just saying, we can talk to God like we can anybody else. We pray sincerely. I like this phrase, mean what you say and say what you mean. Mean what you say and say what you mean. Pray with respect, but be yourself. If you were privileged to have or continue to have a good relationship with your earthly father, I know some people don't, and I'm sorry about that. Think about how you talk to him. You know, I talk to my parents, I try to talk to them at least once a week. It's just something I do. And I talk to my dad, I talk to my mom. But when I talk to my dad, I don't use these big fancy words and say, "Oh, exalted father." You know? Anyway, but, you know, I just talk to him like another person. We can talk to God that same way. Now, I'll tell you what, when I grew up and growing in my relationship with the Lord and I'm just learning all this stuff and went off to Bible college, you know, my prayer habits kind of changed over the years and that kind of stuff. I learned more and more and more. But I remember when this really struck home to me, and I felt like I'd done pretty good at just talking to God like I talked to anybody else. But then when we were in Morenci, Arizona, which was a long time ago, 20-something years ago, pastoring there, there was a group of us pastors that would get together to just talk and encourage one another and pray together and that kind of stuff. And there's a guy, his name was Pastor Bob. And I remember the first time I was with Pastor Bob and he was the one that said a prayer. When he started prayer, I started opening my eyes to see who else had come in the room. And the reason why is because he just started talking like he would be talking to anybody else. He was able to more than anybody else I've ever known or heard, to pray in such a communicative way with God, you really felt like God was in the room. I don't mean a feeling, but just that's the way he talked to him. And it just illustrates we can talk to God just like we would anyone else. And about anything else, pray sincerely. You can share anything with God, and you might as well. He already knows. If you're angry, talk to God about it. If you're angry with God, talk to God about it. You can't hide it from him. It's one of the first steps to getting it dealt with. If you're frustrated with God, if you've got doubts and fears, "Oh, but I'm not supposed to have doubts and fears." God knows you do. Talk to him about it. If you're depressed, "But I'm supposed to be full of joy." Yeah, God wants you to have joy, but you got to deal with the depression you got with. You can talk to God about anything. And we got great examples in God's word. You know, I think of Moses. God called him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And they had a great communication. There's one time that God says, "Moses, just get out of the way. I'm going to destroy the Israelites. I'm done with them." And Moses, "No, God, you can't do that. You got to keep your word. You got to honor your name. You got to keep your promises." God says, "Okay." And it wasn't too much longer. Moses said, "God, just wipe them out." And God says, "No, I can't do that." So it seems like, you know, they kind of encourage each other, God and Moses. You know, they were able to relate that way. You know, I think of David. We read the Psalms of David, and there's such joyful expressions of praise and thanksgiving, but there's times of anguish and fear and doubt and pain that he expresses to God. I think of a little prophet. Well, it's not a little prophet. I don't know how tall he was, but one of the minor prophets, Habakkuk, okay? Very short prophet in the Old Testament. And he comes to God, and he says, "God, I don't understand what you're doing." It's a paraphrase. He says, "Your people are so wicked, and you're not doing anything." And God says, "Don't worry, I'm getting ready to. I'm going to have them be disciplined, be conquered by the Babylonians." And then Habakkuk says, "That's even worse. The Babylonians are worse than your own people. Why would you do that?" And God says, "Don't worry, because they're going to be disciplined too." But you see, Habakkuk had that freedom to go to God and say, "God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what you're doing." It's just that communication about anything and everything. And the fifth and last one is this: pray specifically. Pray specifically. I think we can all I think we can all be guilty of, but it's not something we're guilty of. I think we can all fall into a habit that's not a bad habit, but it's not the best habit, of just saying general prayers. Of just saying, well, God, would you please be with me today? Have you ever thought about how silly that prayer is? I prayed it myself, so I'm not making fun of you, okay? God, be with me. When is it that God isn't with us? You know, even if we don't have a relationship with God, God's always with us. Because God is everywhere. Now, I understand what we mean by that. We mean, God, would you just make your presence known to me today? Would you protect me? Would you guide me? Would you lead me? Would you just help me with whatever I'm going to face? But if that's what we mean, why don't we pray that? And one of the benefits of praying that way is that when God does it, we have more to be thankful for. God did it. Pray specifically. God, help me today. Help you do what? Again, I understand. If you're like me, I need God's help with everything, you know, but be specific. Or if you're praying for something, God bless them today. Again, that's not a bad prayer, but let's be specific. God, would you just work in that person's life today? Would you provide what they need? Would you make them aware of your presence? Would you make them aware of your love? Would they sense that you're involved in their life? Lord, would you draw them closer to you? You know, the specific part of, you know, the prayers in the Bible are specific. And again, when we pray specifically, when God answers those prayers, like, God did it. I prayed that God would do that, and God did it. And it raises our faith. And God responds to specific prayers. And we see a pattern for it here in Jesus' teaching, what we call the Lord's Prayer. You know, the Lord's Prayer, what we call it, Our Father, we call it the Our Father, whatever. You know, we can say this prayer, okay? And there's nothing wrong with praying this prayer. But if you choose to pray this prayer as Jesus gave it, be very, very careful. Not that it's dangerous. But if you pray it and you just say the words without thinking about it, with rushing through it, just get it out there, then you're guilty of exactly what Jesus said don't do. When Jesus said a few verses earlier, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. If you repeat this prayer or any other prayer without truly meaning it from your heart, without thinking it through, then you're guilty of just praying empty words, even though they're words Jesus gave. So I would encourage you to pray this prayer, as is. But if you do, know what you're praying. Focus on it. But I would say that Jesus didn't give us this prayer just to be prayed as is. I think he gave it as a pattern. He gave it as a pattern. And this is something I'm just going to give you a real quick outline. And this is another thing that I could do a whole message on. In fact, I've done a whole sermon series on the Lord's Prayer with one sermon on each of these things. I'm just going to give it to you. And this is another area where I'm going to ask you to just meditate on it this next week and think about it and pray it through. But we see a pattern here in the Lord's prayers. First of all, we should pray for God's priorities. How often do we come to God with our priorities? We need to put God's priorities first. When Jesus says, pray this way, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to pray that his name will be glorified. We need to pray that his kingdom will be established. We need to pray that his will be done. And we need to add on to that. You know, we'd say, well, what can I have to do with God's kingdom being established? What do I have to do with whether God's name is honored in the earth? What in the world can I do to see that God's will is done in the earth? Well, I'll tell you exactly what you can do. You can see that those three things are done in your life. And as we pray about it, it becomes an issue that we wrestle with and that we begin to live out. We need to pray God's priorities. Pray that God's name be glorified in your life, in my life. Pray that God's kingdom will be established in my life. Pray that God's will be done in my life. I don't think Jesus was trying to teach his disciples to pray that if somehow they'd pray the right way, the whole world would change immediately. I think he was trying to teach his disciples how to pray so that when they prayed, their world would be changed over time. And as their world began to be changed and the other disciples began to change and others, then the big world, the whole world would be changed. Can I tell you that every believer in the world truly prayed this and tried to live it out? God, may your name be glorified in my life. Lord, may your kingdom be established through what I do in this world. Lord, may your will be done in my life. If every believer would pray that and live that out, this world would be changed phenomenally. And it is being changed because of those that are praying that and are living that out. In another teaching on prayer later in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about how we don't have to worry. You just say, God, you know what I need? I'm asking you for it. You know, and it says that if God cares for the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, he's going to take care of you too. And he wraps up that teaching in chapter 6, verse 33. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added to him, to you. You know, and we come into God's presence, we've got this whole list of things we want him to do, and that's fine. But put him first. He says, put the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, you know, living out the life that he's got for you, and he's going to take care of everything else. But it's okay to pray for the rest of the stuff because he mentions it later here in this passage. And I want to give you another passage I'm not going to read, but I encourage you to read later. The men studied it a couple weeks ago. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. It's one of those places where Paul is writing one of the churches, the church at Colossae. He says, this is what I'm praying for you. This is one of the best prayers that you can pray for yourself or to pray for other people. I encourage you, if you could, if you would, memorize that. But if not memorizing it, memorize the topics that are in there. And can I tell you, if you pray the things that are in this prayer, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14, you'll be praying God's will for your life, and you'll be praying God's priorities. And you'll see your life changed phenomenally. You say, well, read it to us, Pastor. No, you go home and read it. Meditate on it. Pray it. So we pray for God's priorities, but it's okay to pray for what we need too. In fact, it's the second thing we see. Pray for God's provision. Pray for God's provision. Jesus says you can pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Pray for God's pardon. For forgiveness. For forgiveness for us to receive, but also for forgiveness for us to give. Jesus goes on to teach a little bit later, we didn't read it, that you'll be forgiven to the extent that you forgive others. That's a whole other topic, but pray for God's pardon. That you will receive forgiveness, but that you will give forgiveness. And to be honest with you, there are times we're facing situations, it's going to take God's help for us to forgive. But God will help us. And the last thing is pray for God's power. Pray for God's power. Jesus says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pray for God's power to guide us, to protect us, to give us strength. Can I tell you, there's no request that's too big. There's no request that's too small. In fact, Paul tells us and encourages us in Philippians 4, 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He says anything and everything, anything and everything. There's nothing too small to take to God. There's nothing too big to take to God. You know, we might say, well, I don't know if this is really that important to God, or even if it's really should be so important to me. Well, here's the thing. If it is important to you, it's important to God. And if God thinks it shouldn't be that important in your life, he'll let you know. And he'll help you to deal with that. Whatever is on your mind, you can take to God. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. One translation says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. So prayer. It's foundational. It's one of the basics of the basics. And there's so much more we could say about it. And each of these topics could be a whole sermon. But as we're talking about the basics today, if we could get these basics down, everything else would come pretty simply. Pretty simply. Psalm chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. A great passage to end with. David, I believe, wrote this psalm. I'd have to go back and look at it. It says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. And then it says, in the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you. But that could also be translated, in the morning I direct my prayer to you and watch. In other words, Lord, I'm crying out to you. Here I am. Here you are. We're communicating. Here's what's on my mind. And I'm just going to wait for whatever you choose to do about it. You know, I think sometimes we just take it for granted. We have the privilege of having a relationship with and communicating with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of this world, who also says he can be our Father. He wants to be our Father. And we can come to him with anything and everything. And sometimes we just take that for granted. So we need to pray relationally, pray regularly, pray privately, pray sincerely, pray specifically. Now, I'll just be honest with you, as a pastor, and I've been in ministry for over 37 years. Yeah, I've known the Lord for 47 years. I still don't have it all down. I still look at my prayer life and say, "Boy, I could make it better. It could be better. It could, you know, whatever." I think we're all there. None of us are going to be perfect till we get to heaven. But I think the idea of growing and getting closer to God is that we're just making progress. We want to make progress. And so wherever you fall in relationship to this message today, I would venture to say that probably unless you are perfect or pretty close to it, and they may have a couple in here, I don't know. There's something from this message today you can take home with you and try to apply this week. And I hope that that's what you will do every time we look at God's Word. But especially as we go through this series on the basics, that you say, you know what? I want to get my prayer life in shape. Not a legalistic, ritualistic thing, but I just want to be as close to God as I can, and prayer is important to that. So here's what I want to start doing so I can be closer to God and have a better communication with Him. Father God, we just come to You right now, and Lord, we thank You that we can come to You, that You love us, and that we can have a relationship with You, and that if we do have a relationship with You, we can come to You anytime. We don't have to set an appointment. You can give us Your full attention anytime, anywhere. Father, I pray that You would help us to just make our communication, to do whatever we need to do, to establish habits or whatever, to make our communication with You the best it can possibly be, so that our relationship with You will be the best it can possibly be. Father, I pray that, I believe with all my heart that as we've looked at Your Word this morning, that probably for each one of us, if we've been paying attention, there's certain things that we've said, I could do that, or I need to do that, or I should do that. I'm just asking right now that we won't forget about it when we leave this building. I pray that as we go out into our world and face our everyday life, that You will remind us, but that we will also make note or do whatever we need to do to make changes or to put into practice those things that will help our communication with You to be better and better and better and better and better. I pray for anybody that's here today and there's a block in their communication, Lord God. I pray that You'd work in their hearts that they would take care of that this morning, Lord God. Not leave it, not put it off, not wait. Father, help us to walk closely with You. As you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just so you can focus, I want to ask if you're here today and you don't even have a relationship with God. I mentioned it early on. We're talking about praying and communicating with God as our Father. But God is not the Father of us all unless we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And if you're here today and you say, I want God to be my Father. I need my sins forgiven because I am a sinner and my sins are between me and God. And I recognize either because you just know or because of the truth you've heard that there's nothing I can really do about that. But the Bible says that Jesus died that my sins could be forgiven. And I want to put my faith, my hope, and my trust in Him. And I want to ask Him to be my Savior, to forgive me my sins. And I want to ask Him to be my Lord so I can live for Him. If that's you today, would you just slip your hand up? I promise I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to pray with you and for you today. Maybe say, you know, I need Jesus as my Savior. Okay. Father, as I often say, I hope that the fact that I didn't see any hands means that every single person in this room knows You. But Lord, if for some chance there is someone here that does not have that relationship and they did not raise their hand, they're not ready to make that decision for whatever they think is their reason, that You would continue to work in their lives and draw them to Yourself. So they can experience the life You have for them, that forgiveness from sins, that forgiveness from bondage and guilt and shame, and the joy and the pleasure of a life spent with You. Father, we thank You for that. God, as we leave this place, help us to go out into our world to live the best life we can, to be successful in school and at work or whatever we put our hands to live a life that is pleasing to You. And Lord, that Your love, Your light, Your truth would shine through us And Lord, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.